Okay, we're starting on Daf Nun Hey. Our Daf is Daf Nun Hey. We're going to start Nun Dalet Amud Bet at the Gufa. It's about 15 lines from the bottom, maybe a little less. Second word on the line is Gufa Amar B'Yishua Ben Levi. Okay, Frosh Lemot, Le David Avram Ben Miriam, Dvorah Batina, Orle Penina Bar Rachel Frida, Yelmir Bat Chaya, Yaakov Ben Rosa, David Ben Golda, Daphne Chaya Bat Sarah, Ilana Mira Batina, Reza Bat Pesha Rif, Gavi Taba Lea Dvorah, Chana Lea Bat Fredel, Chaya Naomi Dvorah Bat Shulamit, Lilo Nishma Chana Bat Avram Bat Tara, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Alevi Umele, Yosef Bet Tzvi HaKoyen, Oz Avram Shum Ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Alevi Vechana. Okay, today we're going to see a whole bunch of different topics. We're going to start from something they mentioned earlier, which is the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi says, "Al hektesh rishon mosif chomesh, v'al hektesh sheni ein mosif chomesh." Okay, we're going to have all sorts of discussions today, also in yesterday's daf, about when we add chomesh, in which cases. So he said, he mentioned previously, that we're mosif on hektesh rishon and not on hektesh sheni. What does that mean? Hektesh rishon is you take an object and you say, "I want to bring this to the Beit HaMikdash." Then what do you want to do? You live far from the Beit HaMikdash. You want to redeem it onto a coin. You have to add an extra fifth if that's what you want to do. But if hektesh sheni, let's say you take that money, and for whatever reason, you then buy an object with that money. Let's say you decide you want to take that to the Beit HaMikdash instead. So you buy, or you're on your way, and you see something, and you say, "Oh, that would be really nice to bring to the Beit HaMikdash." But then maybe it gets too heavy, and you decide, "Oh, you know what? I'm gonna basically redeem that one onto a coin." So that's now something that became kadosh from something else that was kadosh. So it doesn't have, it's not the same status as something that you declare, this is hektesh. It was something that has less hektesh status because you already, right, it was already, you could almost say watered down, right? The first hektesh is very strong because you said, "I'm going to make this hektesh." The second one only has koach hektesh from the fact that you're taking these coins and buying something for hektesh from it. So he claims that if you're going to now take that second object, that hektesh sheni, and you want to redeem it onto a coin, you don't need to add the chomesh. Amar Rava, my time is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So what's his reason, Rava says? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'im ha-makdish yig'alet beto. Okay, that's where they learned about this dina hektesh and the v'yosap ha-mishito alav. So if he's go'alet beto, what do you learn here? Ha-makdish v'lo ha-matpis. It's the makdish, the object that was directly turned into hektesh, and not ha-matpis. Matpis is, right, where do we learn this language before? Hamatpis? With Neder. You remember the Nazir? I'll be a Nazir like him. Right? Like him. So that's Hatpasa. You're connecting it to something else that was already hektesh. Tani Tana Kameja Rabbi Elazar. So now Tana brings a brighter before Rabbi Elazar. Ve'im ba behemah hatmea upada be'erkecha. Okay, this is, let me just read the whole pasuk for you. Im ba behemah hatmea upada be'erkecha. Vayosav chamishito alav. So if you, this is, let me just double check, right? Right, the context of this is where you have an animal, and I don't think if he becomes tamei, you're makdish abehemat tamei.
It says non-kosher.
Right, but I think it's from the beginning. When you were makdish from the beginning, a non-kosher animal, basically, so obviously you're going to have to transfer that onto a coin. It's not ra'oi to bring on the mizbeach. So what are you going to do? You're going to bring chamishit. So now what's the drasha? Notice it says, it doesn't say im bebehema tme'a. It says im bebehema hatme'a. The, right? Hey, yidia. Ma bebehema tme'a miyuchedet shetchilata hekdesh v'kula l'shamayim u'mo'alim ba. Av kosher tchilata hekdesh v'kula l'shamayim mo'alim ba. So now they're going to say, what makes this behemat me'ah unique, that they called it hat me'ah? Two things. Number one, it was tchilata hekdesh. It was an animal that somebody, it was first level hekdesh. They said, this animal is going to be hekdesh. And it goes kulala shamayim. Okay, it was used for a korban that goes, it's kodshe kodshim. And what do we see? Mo'alimba, there's dine me'ilah. So therefore, af kosher tchilato hekdesh. Now we're going to learn that anything that's chilato hekdesh and kula l'shamayim, mo'alim ba. So now we're going to try to explain this exactly. So this Tana, this somebody brought this braita before Rabbi Elazar, and he says, Amar le Rabbi Elazar le Tana, bishlama, I understand kula l'shamayim. I understand you're going to say there's only me'ila when it's kula l'shamayim kodshi kodshim, right? Where something is Ola Kula L'Shamayim, it's Korban Ola or something like that, where it's only for God and not something that man gets to eat part of. L'mi'ute kodshim kalim. Kevan di'ilu l'balim b'kavayu le'pehu me'ila. Since the Baalim and kodshim kalim are allowed to eat part of it, so we understand that there's not a din of me'ila. Remember, what's me'ila? It's being nehenef from hektish, which you're not allowed to. But if it's a type of hektish, right, it's a type of korban that you're allowed to eat from, then obviously you wouldn't have me'ila. But I don't understand the other statement, the other conclusion you came to. Ela tchilat hektish lemi'ute mai. What do you, if you're saying it's tchilat hektish, that's a, this behemat me'a. Right, I just want to clarify before we move on. It said behemat me'a. What did we learn about the behemat me'a? That there's din me'ila. Okay, and then what did we say? Anything that's like it, that tchilato hekdesh, and it's kochim, right? I'm totally blanking on, right? Kochim kalim versus koche kochim. So now, what?
But how can a behemah tmeah?
So the assumption is, right, that's what, right, I agree. There's a bit of a question here. I assume, I feel like I'm missing one thing, which is I think that, 1 second, let me just check one thing here. I'm assuming they mean that you designated the animal and then maybe it became tameh or something.
Yeah, so it could be.
That's what I assume it means. With. Right. You separated this animal for the purposes of, that's what I assume. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll leave that aside for now. So now, what happens? They say, so now, what about this? Rishon tchilat hekdesh. Ela tchilat hekdesh mi'ute mai. Tchilat hekdesh hu di'i be'me'ila. Sof hekdesh le'pe me'ila. You're going to say that there's no me'ila. If I take an item, I redeem it onto a coin. I say, this is hekdesh. I redeem it onto a coin. I buy another animal with that coin. That coin now, right? That animal now becomes hekdesh. You're going to say there's no din of me'ila? How could you possibly say it? It doesn't make any sense. So then they say, right? So sof hekdesh lepo me'ila. So they say, dilma le'inyan chomesh kamarta uku Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Maybe this whole braita wasn't saying the din of behemat me'a is to be mostly from the din of me'ila as per se the din of me'ila explicitly. But what's unique about the din of me'ila? That you also have to add chomesh. So maybe it doesn't mean din me'ila. It means that you don't have to add the chomesh, and then it matches exactly Rabbi Shov ben Levi's opinion. So in other words, he rereads the Braita, he suggests that. Now, Amar le'in hachi kamina, the Tana who brought this Braita says, you're right, that's what I meant to say. Okay? So I didn't mean there's a din of me'ila and there's no din of me'ila if it's sofo hekdesh. No, of course there's a din of me'ila. There's just no din of chomesh. So if I take that second animal and I want to redeem it onto a coin, I don't have to add the chomesh. And then that matches 100% what Rabbi Shov ben Levi said. Amar le Rav Ashi le Ravina, behemat me'a betchilat hekdesh ita, beemse hekdesh leita. So now we're going to say that we understand that this first animal, this behemat me'a. 1 second, let me just clarify this question for 1 second. It sounds like this behemat me'a only works if you're saying, I want this animal to be hektesh, and then you're going to redeem it onto a coin and then buy a different animal with it. But you're going to say that it doesn't work be'emtze hektesh. What if, what's the idea with this behemat me'a? I certainly can't bring it on the mizbeach. So it can't be sof hektesh. It can't be the last item that I redeem, right? I take my coin and I buy a tame animal to bring as a korban. Not for sure can't work. But what if I did it, I wanted to do this process a number of times. I took an animal, right? Why you would want to do this, I don't really know. But I took an animal, I said it was hektesh. Then I redeemed it onto a coin. Then I bought a behemat me'a with it. Then I redeemed that onto a coin. And then I bought a behemat torah with it. So, are you saying that it can't be be'emtze hektesh? Amale, lefi she'ena besof hektesh. So he says, I didn't mean that it can't be be'emtze hektesh. I meant that it can't be besof hektesh. In other words, you can use it in the interim if you wanted to. Okay, so amale rav acha midifti l'ravina, be'emtze hektesh mi'aita v'lo sifna mi'chomesh. So if that's the case, right, then you should also be adding chumash to it. In other words, what's the issue with adding the chumash? Maybe on the last item you're not going to add chumash, but if it's emseh hekdesh, then maybe you should also be adding chumash. So amar lei, harehu kesof hekdesh. Ma sof hekdesh ena mosif chumash, af emseh hekdesh ena mosif chumash. So now we're going to have this whole back and forth about what we said before, that you don't add chumash, that's on the last item you're going to turn it on to hekdesh. But what about something in the middle? Okay, where does that go? Is it like the first item or is it like the last item? So now they're having this debate. So he says, it must be like emseh hekdesh is like sof hekdesh. So if you were to redeem an animal onto a coin and then buy an animal that was tmeah and then redeem it onto a coin, the second time you wouldn't need to add chomesh. Okay? And that's because they learned it out from the sof hekdesh. But now they say, Amar le Marzutra, Rav Zutra, Bered Rav Mary le Ravina, my chazik de midamit le sof hekdesh. Why did you assume arbitrarily that it should be like sof hekdesh? Nidamya le tchilat hekdesh. Maybe it should be more like the first one. Okay, this is a debate, right? When you have, we have a din for the first, we have a din for the last. What about the middle? Does the middle go like the last or does it go like the first? Amar le mistabra le sof hekdesh. No. It makes more logical sense to compare it to sof hekdesh. Dehava le lidmuye. Sorry, I didn't read it right. It seems like sof hekdesh, you should have compared it. Shekein nitpas mi nitpas. What does that mean? Right, we already said, what's different about the second stage of hekdesh? Hekdesh sheni, right? That it's not makdish, it's nitpas. It was connected to something that had hekdesh as opposed to coming directly from the person's mouth declaring it was hekdesh from the beginning. So they say, no, adaraba. L'tchilat hekdesh hava le l'dmuye, shekein davar sheyesh acharav kedusha mi davar sheyesh acharav kedusha. No, we're much better off comparing something that still has an ongoing, right? It's going to turn something else into hekdesh. We should definitely be adding the chomesh then. K'da'amarava. So now they say, no, this is our answer. This is how we know. Now we're going to darshan it. Remember I talked about the heya yidiya, the hatmea. So k'da'amarava ha'ola, ola rishona, hachinami hatmea, tmea rishona. Just like we have a drasha in the Heya Yediya in a different place, I'll explain the drasha in a minute there, but where the Heya Yediya comes to teach you it's only the first, or it's not actually only the first, but it's a little different use of the first. But there it means first, so here also it means hekdesh rishon, and not anywhere past rishon, and that's why they're going to say that it's now it's only when the behemat tmeah is used as the first hekdesh, it's going to need the chomesh. But any time after that, because remember, the pasuk hatmeah was the pasuk where it said you have to add the fifth. So they say only hatmeah, meaning the first. So what's this ha'ola, ola rishona? This is to teach you that the korban ola of the morning, right? Every morning we bring the korban tamid, korban ola, it has to be the first thing brought on the maracha. That's what they say. Ha'ola comes to teach you ola rishona. Nothing goes on the mizbeach before the korban ola of the korban tamid. Okay, so that was all to prove that we started with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Hekdesh rishon and not hekdesh sheni has the chomesh. The hekdesh sheni doesn't have the chomesh. And then we talked about this case about the middle, right? The what if there's a middle stage? There's three stages, so we say that anything past the first in the end does not need chomesh. Tanya Kavatena, we're just going to end with a braita like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, another braita that supports him. Parazo tacha para shel hekdesh. If you take a para and say, I'm going to use this para instead of the para of hekdesh. Okay, here it's not being redeemed on a coin in between. It's just saying, I want this para to be instead of that para. Now, what's the difference here? You didn't evaluate exactly how much money each para is worth. So what happens? Does it work? Like, let's say I took my para, I said I want this to be hekdesh, and then I saw a different para of mine. I said, you know what, I want to switch it onto that one. But I didn't.
Before, did you have to bring both once you designated?
Ah, yafes. So that's right. Hu tmorato yekodesh. So what's the case here then? That's a good question. If we're talking about redeeming coins, redeeming it onto coins, right, that whole deen of tmura should definitely be a problem for this whole sugya, really. Because...
Can you ask the question?
Okay, there's a halach of tmura. What does it mean? It means that if you take an animal and say, I want this to be designated as a korban, and then later you say, I want to switch the kedusha onto a different animal, you're not allowed to do that.
Okay,
and that's, okay, so what does it mean? And maybe this whole sugya just isn't relating to it. Obviously, the first one is still Hekdesh because you designated it to be for a korban. So you can't undesignate it, but the next one still is Kodesh.
Flipping it onto a coin.
But
I know there's not that intermediate, but if you flip it onto a coin, does that make it not?
Right. Hekdesh? So first of all, if we're talking about a behemat tzme'ah, I'm not sure there's a din of tmura there because it was never ra'oi for the mizbeach in the first place. And maybe that's why they're specifically talking about a behemat tzme'ah. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's the issue.
That's
if it's a behemat torah, then there's tmura. If there's a behemat tzme'ah, then it wouldn't be tmura. I guess that must be the issue here because we're not talking about an animal that's like that. So this case, though, right, how would you do that? Because in this case, this doesn't sound like it's tameh. So this one's more of a problem. Yeah, I don't really know the answer. It's a very good question. Okay, so now what do we have here? You said this para instead of that para, but you didn't check how much it's actually worth. So the din is... Okay, or talit zo tachat talit shel hekdesh, hekdesho padoy. Okay, his hekdesh is padoy. In other words, it worked. Okay, he was able to switch the kedusha, which makes it sound like there is no tmura here. So I'm not sure. You know, the difference could be here. Here you just said it's hekdesh. You didn't say it's for a korban. There's a difference between saying I'm designating this object for the Beit HaMikdash versus saying I'm designating this for a korban. So once you say something's going to be for a korban, then you can't change it. If you just say it's going to be for hekdesh, then it's like any other item, I would think. It could be for hekdesh, and then it would be okay. Maybe that's the answer to the question. So now the issue is, what if it wasn't worth the right amount? So yes, it works that the kedusha is switched onto the other coin, however, onto the other item. Okay. However, it says, yad hekdesh ala elyona. What does that mean? It means that if you underpaid... Right, if your para was not worth, the second para was not worth as much as the first, you're going to have to pay the difference. So it worked to switch the kedusha, and the kedusha is off the first para. However, you have to pay the difference. And if you it was more than the hekdesh wins out. In other words, you don't say, oh, well, I meant, right, this para was worth 50, and the new one is worth 55, but I only really promised 50, so the hekdesh should give me 5 back. No, tough luck. In other words, once you switch it, always the hekdesh wins out. Parazo, so far this had nothing to do with Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi. We're going to get to the connection in a minute. Parazo b'chamesh shla'im tacha para shel hekdesh. If you evaluate it at a certain amount, this para is going to be worth chamesh shla'im instead of this para of hekdesh. Or talito b'chamesh shla'im tacha talit shel hekdesh. But again, you didn't evaluate what the first one was, so same thing. Hekdesho padoy el hekdesh rish. Hekdesho padoy. Then here comes the last line, which is our issue. Al hekdesh rishon mosif chomesh, al hekdesh sheni em mosif chomesh. Okay, and there you have exactly a braita that supports the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, even though he sounds like a Tana, he's not a Tana. He's an Emora from Eretz Israel. So having a braita to support him is a good thing because it shows this Emora has validity. Okay, now we're moving out of the realm of this. We're moving on to other stuff. Now we're going to talk about. Since we said that ona'ah, we're now going to learn that ona'ah is a minimum amount. Okay? In order to have ona'ah, arba'ah kesef. Remember our mission talked about it? There was 4 kesef out of a selah, which is 24 me'ah kesef. So ona'ah, the minimum shear of ona'ah is 4 me'ah kesef, 4 silver coins. If somebody cheated someone out of an amount less than that, okay, if the whole sale was worth, let's say, half a selah, and the ona'ah was 2 me'ah kesef instead of 4, you can't claim ona'ah on that. It's not enough of an amount for it to be considered, you know, if someone defrauds you on 10 cents, you know, you're not going to start claiming ona'ah on that, so that's what they're saying. There's a minimum shiur. And now we're going to talk about minimum shiurim for other things. Hata'ana shteh kesef v'hoda'ah shave pruta. We've learned many times about modeh b'miktzat, right? Modeh miktzat ha'ta'ana, right? You claim I owe you 100, and I say, no, I only owe you 50. Now, generally, when we give that example, we always usually use an example of 50%, okay? Now we're going to learn it doesn't have to be 50%. It could be a lot less that you're modeh b'miktzat. And what's the law of modeh b'miktzat? You have to swear, right? If you admit half, remember the whole thing, you're not to be me'iz panav if ne'bal chavo, and maybe you're just pushing him off, so therefore, you probably really own the whole thing, and therefore, if you want to get out of paying, we make you swear. So now, what are we learning? That in order to be chayav, the shvu of modeh b'miktzat, there need to be 2 minimum shirim. Number one, the minimum of what the whole ta'ana was, like what I owe you, what you claim I owe you. That has to be shtei kesef, Okay, you have to claim at least that I owe you shtei kesef. If it's a claim less than that, there's no moda b'miktzat. And how much do I have to be moda to be considered that it's a hoda'ah? Hoda'ah shevet pruta. Okay, which is much less than one half. Okay, even though we usually say moda b'miktzat, we give an example, a basic example of one half. Okay, a pruta, just to give you the money. So you can look at this chart here. He has a good chart in the Frank book. But there's 64 prutot in shtei kesef. Okay, so you're talking about 1 out of 64 is the percentage. Okay, so you really, when it says mode b'miktzad, it really is b'miktzad. Okay, but it has to be at least a pruta to a claim of shtei kesef. Chamesh prutot hein. Now the Mish is going to tell us, and we're going to see a different version in the Gemara of this. There's 5 dinim that have a shava pruta as their minimum. Ha-hoda'ah shaveh pruta, number one, the one we just said. Ha-isham mitkadeshet b'shaveh pruta, we know that, right? And isham mitkadeshet, it has to be something that's worth a pruta. Ha-nehaneh b'shaveh pruta min ha-hekdesh ma'al, in order to be chayav dinim me'ila of nehaneh min ha-hekdesh, it has to be that you were nehaneh from something that was at least the value of a pruta. Remember, a pruta is not worth very much, right? Seen that. Ha-motzeh shaveh pruta chayav la-hachriz. Okay, if you find a shaveh pruta, you have to go announce it. Any aveda that you find that's less than a shaveh pruta, you don't have a chiyuv to go announcing it. V'hagozelet chaveiro shaveh pruta b'nishpalo yolichenu acharav afilu l'madai. The dean of, if you remember this whole halakha, if you stole from your friend and then you lie about it in court, what do you have to do? You have to return the stolen item. Now remember, there's a difference between gzela and gneva. Gneva always has kefel. Gzela, the halacha is ve'yashivit ha-gzela asher gazal. You just have to return the stolen item. But if you swore falsely under oath that you didn't steal it, and then you admit that you stole it, then you have to add an additional chomesh payment, okay? And you have to return it to him, afilu l'madai. You have to go as far as madai, meaning right very far away, even if you stole it, and then admit that you did and all that, and you swore. But the value of the stolen item has to be a minimum of a shaveh pruta. Otherwise, you don't have to return it. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, wait a minute. Why is it telling us on arba'a kesef? Didn't we learn that already? Remember I said the Mishnah earlier said the on'a is arba'a kesef. So tanina chadazimna ha'on'a arba'a kesef me'esrim va'arba kesef l'sela shtut l'mekach. We already know that. So now they say, they gave it as an intro, really, to get to the fact that they want to mention other things. In other words, so what they want to mention, that they mention that first, even though it's a repetitive Mishnah. Hatana shtei kesef hodah shaveh pruta itzdrichale. Okay, so they did it as a lead-in to the next thing. Okay, it's a Mishnah, I'd also like to be numeric, right? Here it starts off, this is 4 kesef, that's 2 kesef, this is pruta. They want to organize it. So then they say, wait a minute. The whole mission was brought to teach you Hatanasha Kesev Odasha Vapruta. Hanami Tanina, that was also mentioned in a different Mishnah, in Shvuot. Shvuata Dayanim, when it talks in Shvuot, Masechet Shvuot about the Shvuah of the Dayanim, Hatanashtea Kesef Odasha Vapruta, it says it also in another Mishnah. And there's this general concept, even though you could say, well, this was already in Bava Metzia, Hona Arba Kesef a few Mishnayot ago. That's somewhere else, maybe they wanted to bring it here. But still, they like this concept. If the Mishnah was mentioned somewhere else, no need to mention it here. So what do they say? No, because Seifa Yitzdrichale, the whole reason they needed it was for the end. Dekatane Chamesh Prutotein, okay? In other words, this Mishnah, the point of it really, it wasn't for the first thing, it wasn't for the second thing. Those both were mentioned in other places. But it was really to get to this Din of the Chamesh Prutot. Okay, now we're going to see Chamesh Prutotein, the litne nami haona a pruta. It should also say that ona'a is a pruta. So Amar Rav Kahana zot omeret ein ona'a leprutot. So now Rav Kahana is going to say from here we can infer that there's no din of ona'a when it comes to pruta. In other words, like I said before when we learned the Mishnah, that if you're ma'anes somebody, you fraud them for the value of a pruta, there's no ona'a. So now we're going to see a different opinion. Levi Amar, yesh ona'a leprutot. Okay, he holds otherwise. That's why another, you might say, why do you even bother saying this teaches you that there's no ona'a? Usually when they say something like that, it's because there's an opposite opinion that thinks there is ona'a. So now we're going to see, not only does Levi think yesh ona'a leprutot, but he has a different list of 5. Okay, we're going to see some of them correspond and some of them are different. It's not just the ona'a that he differs on a few of them. The chen tane Levi b'matnite, Levi in his Book of Mishnayot, or, you know, Book of Braitot, like his version. He had a different version. Chamesh Prutote, and he had the same concept, right? You can imagine how this happens. They memorized Mishnayot, right? And they passed things down. And how they passed things down? Numerically. It was a good way to remember things. If you know there's five, so you'll remember, right? You go to the store, sometimes you try to remember in your head, okay, if you're too lazy to write down your list, I need five things. And then you try to remember, what are the five things? So you can imagine, there's five dinim with Prutot, and over time, different people ended up with a bit of a different list. Ha'ona'a Pruta, so that one is already different. Ha'hoda'a Pruta, okay, so he agrees about the Hoda'a being a Pruta. Modeh b'miktzat. Kiddushei Isha b'pruta, that one he also agrees with. Kiddushei Isha, getting betrothed. Gezel b'pruta, that one's also the same. V'yeshivata dayanim b'pruta, that's a different one, right? He has two, ona'a and yeshivata dayanim, that the other list doesn't have. Which ones doesn't he have? Right, which one's from our Mishnah? He doesn't have the Aveda, and he doesn't have the Me'ila. Okay? So, now we're going to obviously do a back and forth. Why doesn't each one have the other ones? Vitana didan, our tana, my tana lokatana yeshivata dayanim. That we know why they didn't add ona'a. So we don't have to start with that because they don't think there's a din of ona'a b'pruta. They think it has to be arba kesef, you know, from a sela. So why didn't our Mishnah mention yeshivata dayanim? Tana le gezel. Because once, what is it? Oh, so first of all, let's explain what yeshivata dayanim is. Yeshivata dayanim means that the dayanim are going to sit and judge a case. One second, let me just let me see if there's a claim. Right, if somebody has a claim against somebody else and the guy refuses to pay, so the judges can sit on it and force him to pay. If it's less than a pruta, they can't. So now they're going to say, our Mishnah didn't need to say that because it already said the gezel, which is a good case of where the dayanim can force him to send it even to madai. So there you can already infer from there that in order for the dayanim to sit, you need it to be a pruta. So tana le gezel, and you can learn it from there. Umilo tana gezel v'katane aveda. So then they're going to say, well, according to the guy of our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah, if you have gezel, well, then obviously aveda. You should be able to learn aveda from gzela. So why did you need to say gzela and aveda? And his whole idea is gezel can teach us that you can't have a claim, right? You can't have yeshivata dayanim for less than a shavah pruta. Then also the aveda case should be able to be inferred also. It's the same thing. It's about returning an item to someone. It should be able to be inferred from the gezel case. So why did you need to list aveda separately? So hanach itzri chaleh. Why? Gezel comes to teach you hagozel mechavero shavah pruta v'nishbalo yolechenu acharava afilu lemadai. It has a unique halacha that you have to even get it back to the guy as far as madai. Aveda comes to teach you a new halacha that what? Hamotzei aveda shavah pruta chayav lachriz ve'af al gav dezal. If you remember, we learned this. If when you found it, it was worth a pruta, but then when you go to return it, the item goes down in value and it's not even worth a pruta, you still need to return it. And that was the chiddush of mentioning this in the Mishnah, that in aveda shavah pruta, you have to return, even if at the time you return it, it's not worth a pruta. And therefore, it needed to list it separately. Now we're going to obviously ask about Levi. We're going to flip it. The Levi, my time alotane aveda, bepruta, right? Why didn't he list aveda bepruta? Tane le gezel. He says, I can learn it up from gezel. Umilo katane gezel. The katani yeshivata dayanim. So now again, if you're going to say I can derive aveda from gezel, if Levi's going to say that, then why don't you say you can derive yeshivata dayanim from gezel the same way the Tana of our Mishnah did? So what does he say? Yeshivata dayanim itzdiri chaleng. Why? Lafu kemi derav katina. Da amar av katina. Beitin nizkakim afilu lepachot mishavah pruta. Rav Katina had a unique shita that the beitin can go and force you to pay even if it's less than a shavah pruta. And therefore, he didn't want to just assume that you're going to derive this halacha from gezel, because you could say, wait, Rav Katina has a different opinion, and we're going to hold by that. So therefore, he specifically needed to tell you also yeshivata dayanim, so you know that he disagrees with Rav Katina. Okay, he wanted to say, I don't agree with this shita. For Levi, my time alo katane hekdesh, right, we're still going down our list. So first we said, we discussed why the Tan of our Mishnah didn't mention the two that Levi held, which was the yeshivata dayanim and the ona'a. But now we're going back to the Mishnah and questioning Levi about our Mishnah. Why didn't he mention So why didn't he mention Aveda? We said because he learns it up from Gezel. And why didn't he mention Hekdesh? Katane Hekdesh. Sorry, my time alo katane Hekdesh. Bechulin kamare bekodshim lo kamare. The whole this thing of chamesh dinim need pruta. He was only talking about dinim relating to chulin. He wasn't talking about things having to do with the Beit Hamikdash. It's not that he disagrees. He actually thinks that also meila is with the pruta, but that wasn't part of this list. This list is dealing only with chulin stuff, and that's in a whole different category. Ela tana didan de kamare bekodshim. If we're going to say, though, that our Mishnah, obviously, then, is talking about kodshim, so there's another one missing from the list. Nitne maser bepruta. Okay, what should you say? That maser also, remember that whole din? We learned it a few dapim ago. That maser needs to have a shavah pruta, remember? In order to be poded on a coin, the maser needs to have a shavah pruta. If it has less than shavah pruta, it can't be poded on the coin, right? Then someone else came up with that solution. Chizkiya had that solution, but you can be poded on ma'o rishono. So, now we say, no, that's not listed here because what? Our Mishnah doesn't hold that way. Do you remember there were two opinions there? Keman damar ein b'chum sho pruta. It wasn't that the maser needs to have a shavah pruta. It's more than that. The maser needs to be larger than that. It's that the chomesh needs to be a shavah pruta. So then obviously what's going to be the question? V'lidne chomesh maser b'pruta. So at least should have listed then chomesh pruta b'maser. Chomesh maser b'pruta. That the chomesh of maser needs to be a pruta. So what are the answer? Okay. Bikarna kamayre b'chomesh lo kamayre. This Mishnah, okay, the same way we answer for Levi, this Mishnah was only dealing with chulin, not with hekdesh. According to the Tan of our Mishnah, this is a very, right, this very ping-pongy kind of sugya. The Tan of our Mishnah thinks it does include hekdesh, but it's only talking about the items themselves and not the principle of the item has to be a pruta. They're not talking about things where the chomesh needs to be a pruta, the fifth thing. So that's a whole different halach. Okay. Obviously, right, maybe these all should belong on the list, and it's just a matter of, right, the question is why did you decide to put those things and not other things? Okay. Now we're going to go back into this Rav Katina statement. Gufa, Amar Rav Katina, beitid nizkakina filu lepacha b'shava pruta. Mativ Rava. Rava asked a question from a Makor Tanai. Ve'et asher chata min ahekdesh yishalem. L'rabot pacho mishav pruta leheshavon. So what does it say here? Right? You have to pay if you were chote. Right? So now it says that comes to include less than a shav pruta leheshavon. That if you stole something or you took something from the hekdesh, you have to return it. Right? Only, right? Even if it's pacho mishav pruta. So what do they say here? Lekodesh in, aval lehedyot lo. So then they say, this is only for hekdesh and not for hedyot. So it's not really a problem for Rav Katina, who was talking about a beit din coming in between two people who are having a sichsuch. And they don't need less than a shavah pruta. Here it's just in terms of hekdesh. Shavon, the hektish in, or maybe it's a question. One second.
So this is contrary to Rav Katina's position.
Ah, right. Sorry, that's exactly why. Because here it says lehektish in lehedyot lo. It says that only for hektish. This pasuk is relating to hektish. So it's saying only for hektish less than a shavah pruta do you have to return it. But if it's a hedyot, then it's presumably you wouldn't have to. So they say, no, ela itmar hachitmar. We misunderstood his statement. Amar of Katina, imus kiku beitin l'shave pruta, gomrim, afilu l'pachot mishave pruta, sorry, imus kiku beitin l'shave pruta, gomrim, afilu l'pachot mishave pruta, tchilat adin b'inam pruta, gmardin lo b'inam pruta. What's he saying? This is like the case we saw with the Aveda before. What Rav Katina was saying is if your din started out with a shavah pruta, then even at the time that you finished the gemar din, if the item went down in value that you're arguing about and it's less than a shavah pruta, you still have to finish the judgment. Okay? So that it has to start out with a shavah pruta, it just doesn't have to end that way. And we end up rereading that de'av Rav Katina because it disagrees with this drashan, the pasuk about the hektesh, which seems to imply that only hektesh you would do judgment with less than a shavah pruta, whereas with hedyot you wouldn't, but you would in the case where it started out with a shavah pruta and then it devalued. Okay, next list of numbers. Chamisha chumshin hin, right? This sounds like a, first of all, it sounds a little like chamisha chumshei Torah. It also sounds like a bit of a tongue twister, right? But like a way of remembering. There's five fifths, okay? There's five cases where you have a din of a fifth. Eluhem, these are what they are. Ha'ochel truma u'trumat ma'aser u'trumat ma'aser shel demai v'chalav ha'bikurim, mosif chomesh. That's all one, by the way. Okay? These are all things that are called truma. When it comes up in the Torah, it says that truma, you have to add a fifth. Right? If you're a czar who eats truma, so you have to return the item to a kohen, and you have to add a fifth. And all these other things, which we'll go through what all of them are also called in the Torah by the name of truma. So therefore, they all end up having the din of a fifth. And this is the first one. So what do we have? Truma, we have truma maser. That's the levi gets maser, he gets a tenth, and he has to give truma from the maser that he gets. Utruma maser shel demai. Also the truma maser of a demai. What's that? That's a case where we're not sure if truma maser were taken or not. So it's drabanan. Vachala, okay, the din of chala. Right, but taking from your when you make bread, v'habikurim, okay, all those things, right? The first fruits. These are all things that go to the kohen. Again, if a zar eats them, mosif chomesh. That's the first. Second, hapode neta revai umaser sheni shelo, mosif chomesh. Neta revai is the fourth year. Okay, the first 3 years of a fruit tree, you're not allowed to eat your fruits. That's orla. They're aser bahana. The fourth year, it's called Netze Revai. You have to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, just like Maaser Sheni. And they darshan Gzera Shava. From the word, it says Kodesh, and it says Kodesh by Maaser Sheni. So they say, just like Maaser Sheni needs Chomesh, also Netze Revai, if you don't bring the fruits directly, but you redeem them onto a coin, you have to add a fifth. So that's the second one. Third one, HaPodet Hekdesho Mosif Chomesh. We learned that already today, that if you take Hekdesh and you redeem it onto a coin, you have to add a Chomesh. Ha-nehenesh shavapruta min ha-hekdesh mosif chomesh. That's the din of me'ila. If you're neheneh, the value of a shavapruta from the hekdesh, you have to add a chomesh. Va-gozelet chaveros shavapruta v'nishpala mosif chomesh. Same thing about the gzela we saw already. Right? If you steal from your friend and then you lie about it, you swear under oath, you have to add a fifth. So Amarava, Rava starts out and says, Kashalei l'Rabbi Elazar, Trumat maser shel demai. All of a sudden, it's this weird thing that's mentioned here. The only halacha here that's not de'oraita is this truma maser of demai. It's derabana. So he says, Rabbi Elazar had a problem with this. Truma maser shel demai, v'chi asu chachamim chizuk l'divrehem k'shel Torah. There's a very famous line, okay, this concept. When the rabbis make a takana, right, that there's something that's suffic, you don't know if it was truma or maser were taken, so you have to do it misuffic. That's a din derabana. Okay? The rabbi said you have to take truma or maser from them. So now we're going to say that you have to add chomesh if it was something that was sefek and you ate it, right? And you don't even know if it was necessarily truma or not. So mi derabanan, it's aser. So the derabanan now are going to make you, they're going to do their halacha is as strong as the Torah that you have to add chomesh? That's very strange. So Amar Rav Nachman, by the way, this comes up a bunch of different times. Sometimes they actually say that chachamim asu chizuk l'divrehem yoter mishel Torah because they're worried that people are going to be mizalzel and divrei chachamim and therefore they make it even stronger. And sometimes they say, what do you mean? Chachamim, or mechazek, they're, you know, and sometimes it depends what the object, what the item is. Some of the mefreshim say here, obviously here, they weren't worried that people were going to be mezalzel. Like, it's not your classic case that the chachamim would need to make a takana to make it stronger. So because of that, they say, you know, that's why it's obvious here that it would be a question. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Hamane, Rabbi Meir here, he de'amar, asu chachamim chizuk l'divrehem k'shel Torah. It's not a question, because we know that there's one shita, which is Rabbi Meir's shita, and he holds, or maybe he doesn't, we're going to see, but he holds, the chachamim asu chizuk l'divrehem kishel Torah. They treated their stuff as if it's Torah. The rabbis are going to make a takana, they're going to make a takana on the level of the Torah. How do we know this? D'tanya, where do we see it? If you remember Gitin, hamevi get mimidinat hayam, remember, if you bring a get from abroad, what do you have to do? You have to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, right? There was a machloket. Is it because they're not b'kiyin l'shma, right? Because the rabbis don't know, in the chutz la'aretz, don't know that you have to write a get l'shma, and therefore we need to know for sure that it was done properly. Or because ein edim mitzvim l'kaimo, you're talking about distances, and we're not going to find the edim to then verify their signatures because it's coming from abroad. So then we're going to say, the edim, have to, the guy who brings it has to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, to basically verify the signatures, and then the beitim will kind of put their stamp of approval on it. So, And then we won't have a problem later. If the husband tries to say, this isn't a real get, and you're really married to me, she won't have a problem. So now what happens if they gave her the get from Chutzar? It's below Amar La Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. Now, is that a halacha midah, right? Do they have to say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam? Barusha, though, right? It's just a tekanaf chachamim, either because they're in Bikin Lishma, or because we won't have Eidim Mitzvim L'kaimo, and we'll have a problem down the road. Therefore, we want to basically say, you know, chachamim tiknu. So what do you think would happen if it wasn't done? So what are we going to say? So what do we say? According to Rabbi Meir, Yotzi v'havla mamzer, Divrei Rabbi Meir. If a woman got married based on a get like this, she has to get divorced, and if she had children with her second husband, the children are mamzerim. That's midoraita. That's very harsh. Because generally, we try to avoid mamzerim problems, right? We try to say, well, you know, maybe the get's good, but d'yevet, and, you know, whatever. But to say, Yosef Avla Mamzer, is very serious. So therefore, you see that Rabbi Meir holds the Chachamim asu chizuk l'divrahem kishal Torah. The Chachamim omrim, ein Avla Mamzer, right? Chachamim say the Vlad is not a Mamzer. So what's the solution? Ketzad yaseh, yitlena mimena v'yachzor v'yednena la b'fnei shnayim v'yom ala b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. So what should he do? He should go back and give her the get again if this happened. And, right, he should give it to her in front of two witnesses, and he should say, b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. In other words, if the guy didn't say it, so you should have him say it. Okay, so now we're going to go back and question. The Rabbi Meir, mishum de lo amala b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam yotziv avla mamzer. Right? Then now we're going to basically get to the Shita, right? We didn't say it yet explicitly, even though we understood it. So really? So in, yeah, Rabbi Meir, l'tame, he goes to Shita to, da'amar Rav Hamnun, mishmei de'ula, omer haya Rabbi Meir, kol ha'mashaneh mimadbeh shetavu chachamim begitin, yotzi v'havlav mamzer. Okay? That's Rabbi Meir's Shita. Anyone who says, right? Anyone who changes from madbeh shetavu chachamim begitin, yotzi v'havlav mamzer. Okay, we'll stop here for today. What we're going to see tomorrow is Mativ Rav Sheshen, and he says, does Rabbi Meir really hold that Hamim Asuchi Zukli Dibraham Kishal Torah? We're going to see in another case, he's Dafka Mekel when it comes to Durabanan. Okay, so then we're going to, you can see, by the way, I mean, it's almost a weird comparison, because just because they did Chizuk L'Dibraham in one area doesn't necessarily mean they did it in another area, right? You could see when it comes to Eshed Ish, maybe they want to, you know, it's very serious. When it comes to a different issue, maybe not as serious. So we'll have to question that. You know, I'm not sure the sugya really gets into the differences between these cases, but it's something behind it. You know, sometimes the Gemara looks very simply. Oh, he says it or he doesn't say it without really, you know, sometimes they get very much into the depth and the differences between the cases, and sometimes they kind of, you know, look at things very blanket and say, he said it or he didn't, he did, didn't.